folks. Well, it's certainly a joy to be able to be with you all here this Sunday evening. What I'll do is I'll have you, if you will, go ahead and open up in your Bibles before I tell you a little bit about the work. And I'll have you to turn to two passages of Scripture tonight. And first we'll be starting off in the book of Ezra. The book of Ezra and chapter number 3. Ezra chapter number 3. While you're turning there, I'll give you guys just a quick update of what's been going on in Big Timber, Montana. The Lord's truly been blessing us there. Recently, we've had, of course, you saw that we had our charter service not too long ago. We have 13 folks come and sign a charter to be charter members of Bible Baptist Church there in Big Timber, and we were certainly excited about that. And since then, we've had two more folks in our church services raise their hands. They trusted Christ and accepted Him as their Savior. And so looking forward to being able to work with them and disciple them, see some more folks baptized and join the family of God there. So folks, I want to say I'm so thankful that you have been behind us praying for us. And boy, it's just been, it's a blessing. I know we can't do anything without the prayers of God. You know, it's all about Him anyway. And we know we can't do anything without Him except to be by Him. So folks, what we're going to do is I want to tell you a little bit. I will say this. I had some folks asking me, this will be the first time I believe I've actually been able to preach here at Calvary Baptist Church. And some folks were asking me, are you nervous? Is it going to be different? Because, you've preached before. It's a bigger crowd, But they said, well, you've preached to a big crowd before. I said, yeah, but I've never really preached to people that know me that well before. there's some folks here tonight that know about all the nonsense of my younger days. They were involved with me in it. And there's some teachers here tonight that could tell you about how I got in trouble and that nonsense of my younger days. So it's a little different preaching, in this aspect. And there's one person I don't think is here. I was looking for Michael Lane. I was actually enjoying going to be able to preach to him tonight, but I don't see him. I'm sure he's somewhere. But anyhow, I'm so thankful for the opportunity. Folks, one of the things we're going to be seeing, I want to bring you up to speed before we actually look into this passage of Scripture here in Ezra. And if you like looking ahead, we're also going to be in the book of Haggai as well. We're going to be looking at both of those passages of Scripture. But I want to bring you up to speed at what we're looking at before we actually dive in. One of the things I think that we have a problem with today, and when I say we, I mean Christianity, I mean Christians, I mean God's people, sometimes it's hard to draw a line between serving God and giving God the honor, giving God the glory, and then trying to couple that with what we are doing physically in our body, of our own hands. The Bible tells us that all of our righteousnesses, all the things that we do, they're just filthy rags. There's nothing in and of myself that's any good. If you were to look at Trevor Martin, you were to look at the man, you would say, that's a sinner. But by the grace of God, he's pardoned. But other than that, he's a sinner. I'm not anything in and of myself. Were it not for the Lord, I'd be nobody. So when we think of that, how do we pair that with also doing the things that God wants us to do? With giving Him glory? With working for Him, with doing the things that He had asked us to, and then somehow in the midst of that also giving Him the glory for it. We can't. That's just the thing. One of the things that preachers have, when you talk to people that are involved in ministry and do a lot in the ministry, one of the things that you talk to them, one of the things I used to think myself, I've heard myself from other men, is their feeling of inadequacy. When God calls a man to do something, the fact that when you feel that God has you to go somewhere, He has a job for you, that person would stop and think, wow, Lord, really? Me? Lord, you would want me to do this? Lord, am I able to even accomplish this goal? And sometimes we get this idea of what we are capable of doing, and we forget that it's not about us. It's about God. It's not about what we can do or how we're able to work or what good we're able to do. It's all about what He wants to do in us and through us. So folks, what we're going to be looking at tonight is I want to show you three things that we need to remember when we need to work with what we have got. Three things that we should remember when we need to work with what we have got. This morning in Sunday school, some of you might be laughing at this. I told the Sunday school class that we needed to remember five things, and I got halfway through point three, and then the bell rang. And I've had two people come up to me since then and say, didn't you say five? I only heard four. So tonight we're looking forward to being able to see all three of them. But I want you to see three things here out of this passage in Ezra as well as Haggai that we need to remember when we're working with what we have got and what God has given us. Here in this passage, what's happened is this. If you remember your history of the nation of Israel, one of the things that happened with them is time and time again, they forgot to give God the glory for who He was. they decided to turn their back against God. They wasn't worshiping Him. They wasn't honoring Him. Many times they would even turn towards false gods, and which really is kind of hard to imagine. I mean, this is God's people. These are the people that were there when the waters parted and He gave them the promised land. And then sure enough, God would have to bring some kind of tragedy to that nation. He would bring them into exile or what have you, to bring them back to where they ought to be. Well, in this particular passage, what we're going to be looking at historically, what had happened is the nation of Israel, boy, they had their nation, things were going great. They had a great and grand, a beautiful temple. Man, this was King Solomon's temple. If you look at the temple that was built, the Bible talks about how there were these massive cedar trees that were brought in to be the posts and the jewels and the gold that was laid. And man, just how grand and wonderful that this temple was. And then when it came time, the nation of Israel, they were sacked and the land was laid to waste. The temple was destroyed. And then they were carried off into exile. Several years later, the leader that had took them away, that had carried away the Israelites, he had passed away and another man came into power and he says to himself, you know what? I'm going to let them go back to their homeland. I'll let them go back. They can go back into Israel. And you know what? I'm even going to let them build another temple. I'll even let them have a second temple. And so, boy, they were excited. Could you imagine after being taken away from your homeland? I mean, that would be like a foreign country coming in here to America and enslaving us. Taking us away, burning our towns, laying waste to our houses. And then finally, after years and years of waiting, praying, longing, thinking about that day, finally we get to come back home. Man, we get to come back to what's rightfully ours. And then we come back here together as a church, as Calvary Baptist Church. We start coming together and we say, hey, man, let's get our church back together. Let's get us a place where we can worship. And that's what they're wanting to do. They're wanting to build a temple. And folks, we're going to see right here in Ezra chapter number 3 where they are getting ready to start building on that second temple. Ezra chapter number 3, verse number 10. We want to start reading here and see what God's Word says. Ezra chapter 3, verse number 10. And when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets, and with Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by chorus and praising and giving thanks unto the Lord, because He is good, for His mercy endureth forever towards Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundations of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests, Levites, and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men, they had seen the first house, when the foundations of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice. And many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. Our Father God, we do ask that You would help us tonight. Lord, I ask above all that as we open Your Word, that You would be the one that would speak to us. Lord, You would speak to the heart of Your people tonight, and that above all, above everything that's going to be said and done here tonight, Lord, I ask that You would get the honor out of it. I ask that You would get the glory, and that You would be lifted up, and that You would be magnified. And Lord, I pray You would help us to understand and apply these truths tonight, even to our own lives and our own service for You. We love You, Father, for it's in Your name. Amen. So folks, if you caught it, what was just happening here was that they got to go back, they were going back into the land of Israel, they were getting ready to build their temple, and as they began to build, the Bible talks about the ancient men. And man, the ancient men that saw the first temple, that saw Solomon's temple, boy, it was beautiful, it was big, it was grand. We love to go there, we love to go to this place to worship. This is the place that is fit for our God. And boy, they were proud of it. And then rightfully so. It was a great thing that God had done. But now when they're over here building the second temple, the foundations were laid. Boy, the young men that never saw the first one, they were out there, they were working, they were sweating, they gave the priests, boy, they got their robes, they got their instruments, they were praising God, they were singing and giving Him the glory. But the folks that saw the first temple, they weren't over here rejoicing. They weren't over here praising God. Instead, the Bible says they were weeping. They were crying because it wasn't like the first one. This one in our eyes, it's not good enough. man, it pales in comparison. It'll never be like the first one. And to them, they began to weep and they began to cry. And the Bible says that there was such a great loud noise between those that were weeping and between those that were rejoicing. You couldn't tell the difference because all of Israel was shouting. And folks, amongst that, because while there were some that were rejoicing and while there were others that were weeping, there was another man that had something to say of God during this exact same time. That's why I want us to flip over to Haggai. So if you've got your Bibles, I want you to see what God gave Haggai to say to these people. Haggai chapter number 2, and this is where we'll be spending the rest of our time this evening. Haggai chapter number 2, and we'll read verses 1 through 9. Haggai chapter 2, verses 1 through 9. The Bible says this. In the seventh month, in the 1 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel. And this was the man that was charged with building the temple. Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of people, saying, this is what I want you to say to them, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now, be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, the son of Jozadak, high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, Yet once is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. So folks, here's the message that he was giving to these folks. He had the folks that were rejoicing. Boy, they were happy. And then there were those that were weeping. And folks, there's some things that we need to remember as we serve the Lord that we need to draw out of both of these. When we are serving the Lord, whether we find ourselves in the position where we are weeping or whether we find ourselves in the position that we are rejoicing, there's some things that we need to learn. And the first thing I want us to see is this. These folks that were weeping, they missed out on something. They missed out on something. What they weren't doing that they should have been doing and what they missed was an opportunity to give God glory for what He was doing right there. They missed out on an opportunity to give God glory for what He was doing there. Folks, I want to tell you, when we start serving the Lord and we start doing things, we get caught up, and I know this and I say this out of experience, we get caught up in what we're doing with our hands, what we can do. Hey, man, I need to do this. I need to go here. I need to accomplish this. I need to accomplish that. And when I make it about me, I forget to give God the glory. And when I make it about me, I start looking around over here. I start looking sideways instead of looking up. I start wondering what's going to go on over here. Well, this is, well, man, this thing over here, this seems so much better than this one here. Or this ministry over here, they have that. This ministry has this. And I have to make sure that I'm doing a good enough job that I can match up to that. And man, then I can be happy. Well, folks, that's not what the Word of God teaches us. It's not about us. It's not about what we can do with our hands. It's not about me. And when things are going on around us, we need to open our eyes and see that there are things all around that we can give God glory for. Amen. It might not be something that I'm proud of. Maybe it's something someone else did. You know, I can give God glory for that. That's right. Maybe it's something that my neighbor did. Maybe it's something that my brother did. Why do we get in competition with one another? Why do we feel like because God's blessing someone else, that automatically means I'm not doing good enough? Folks, I can give God glory for what's happened in the past, what's happening in the present, what's happening in the future, what's happening down the street, what's happening in my house. Folks, if I am looking at me, you know what my problem is? I'm getting built up with pride. I am getting built up with pride. And God forbid that we should ever take pride in what God is doing for us. We cannot get prideful for what God is doing. And what these folks had missed out on, they were in the midst of this weeping because they were looking at something that had happened in the past. And they were saying, man, what's going on right in front of me isn't good enough. It's not going to measure up. It's not going to make me happy. It's not going to be good enough. No, what they should have done is they should have stopped. And for these ancient men that were there and they were around long enough to see the old temple, they could have stopped and they could have said, God, thank you for what you were able to do over there. That was great. That was wonderful. Lord, thank you for that. And Lord, also thank you for what you're doing here and now. Lord, thank you for both. Lord, and they could have been there and they could have joined in. They could have praised. They could have joined in with the singing. They could have given God the glory for that. Folks, we can give God for things that are happening now. We can also give God for the future. Give God glory for the future. We can never miss out on giving God glory. And here's my question I want to ask you with that. Why in the world as Christians would we ever be pouting when we could be praising? Why would we ever spend time pouting when we could spend time praising? Folks, the Bible tells us that we're only here but for a short time. Life's but a vapor. Here, it's gone. And we only have a short time to be able to do things for the Lord. And if we spend time looking out, wondering, you know, wanting to do this, wanting to do that, wanting to work for this, wanting to work for that, and I forget to give God the glory, I've missed the whole point. You know, I was recently reading in a book, and it gave us this illustration. Maybe some of you have heard it. This young boy, he was talking about how he was trying to build his relationship with God. Man, great thing to do. And he said he would start getting up in the morning. He was reading his Bible. Great thing to do. He got in church and he got involved and he wanted to start working in this ministry and working in that ministry. Hey, great thing to do. And that's wonderful. And he started working and getting more involved. And he was getting things out of it. Man, he was being blessed. But he went and he told one of his teachers. He said, look, I want you to know I'm trying, but I just don't feel like I'm getting anything out of it. He says, I'm not getting fulfilled with my work for the Lord. I'm not getting fulfilled when I even look in the Bible and when I read the Bible. And one of the things that he had missed after his teacher had got to talking to him, he said, look, when you're reading your Bible, are you doing it just to be doing it? Or are you actually looking in the Bible to find something out about Jesus Christ himself? Folks, do you realize everything we do ought to be geared towards one thing? Glorifying God. Amen. Everything. Amen. Everything. I mean, we see that in 1 Corinthians. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, give all to the glory of God. Man, something as simple as eating and drinking. So man, if I'm giving God the glory, it'll never come back on me. And let me tell you this, folks. If I'm giving God the glory, I'll never have a reason to be pouting. Because if I'm giving it to Him, it'll all turn back into praising. Because it's all to Him anyway. So folks, that's the first thing we see. These men, they messed up. In verse number 4, he addressed those men that were weeping. He said, be strong. Be strong. Don't fall into that trap of looking at the way things could be or the way things you think they ought to be. Look at the way things they are now and give God the glory for what's there. So folks, I want to see something else that they have messed up. And I want to show you another trap they fell into. When he said right here in verse number 3, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? In comparison, it's nothing. One of the things that we need to remember when we're working with what we have, first is we need to give God glory for everything. That's what we saw. We need to be grateful and give God glory for all of it. But secondly, we need not to make comparisons. We need not to make comparisons. Do you realize that God gives different people different gifts, different abilities? He gives them different opportunities. He gives them different places to minister. He gives some ministries different opportunities to work than another ministry would have. Folks, I can't look at what God has given me and I can't say that mine isn't good enough because, well, why would I say that? God's the one to give it to me. God's the one to give me the job, and I'm going to sit here and say it's not good enough? Why would I say that? Folks, you got to think, these men, they were forgetting what had happened in the past. When God built that temple, Solomon's temple, I want you to think about what was going on in Israel in that day. King Solomon, we look at him and we see him as one of the wealthiest men that had ever lived. okay? He had great wisdom. This was when Israel was in its heyday. Man, so of course they were going to be able to build something grand and wonderful such as that. And now they are coming back from captivity. They're coming back with nothing. And so, of course, what they're building, there is no way they're going to be able to put together something as grand as that. It's just not going to happen. Why? The opportunities were different. Things were different. Their resources were different. And folks, so what we see is, yes, we thank God for what we have, but I can't look at the ministry God has given me and say, it's not good enough because of X. Or it's not good enough because of why. And folks here, even within the church, God might give us something simple that maybe no one would see. You know, maybe you have a ministry here in the church that no one knows about, that goes unnoticed. You know, maybe you would think, oh, well, you know, this is just something so simple. No one would ever even miss me if I were gone. Folks, that's the attitude that these folks here were falling into. They were making comparisons with the job God has given them. Folks, we might be given something so small, but it's just like that song we sing, little as much as God is in it. You know, it doesn't matter who sees or who praises us. What matters is if God's getting the glory out of it. You know, you can do the simplest and the lowest job and still give God the glory and honor for it. You know, we can. We can give God the praise and honor for any of these things. So, well, we can't be making comparisons. What we ought to do, if God has blessed another ministry, or if God has blessed this man or has blessed that man, what I can do is I can keep my head down, work where God has put me, and I can say, man, praise the Lord for being able to work in that guy too. Man, praise the Lord for what He's able to do there. Praise the Lord for what He's able to do in this ministry. Man, that church saw 5 people last week. 5 people saved last week. Man, praise the Lord. Man, that's wonderful. I shouldn't ever make comparisons. Folks, that's one of the things that we fall in this trap. You know, we start fighting. We start squabbling because, there again, pride causes us to look at ourselves instead of us looking at one another. We get caught up in this thing of pride. So sometimes things are just different. We just don't have the same opportunity. So folks, what I want to encourage you to do is this. And this is kind of what we talked about with the title. I want you to do what you can with what you have. Do what you can with what you have. You know, some folks say, I don't have much. I'm not able to serve the Lord because I don't have this opportunity. I'm not able to serve the Lord because I don't have this ability. Well, so what? God may have given you a different talent that He didn't give to someone else. You know, there are some people, and some of you would even know some of these folks, they might not have the ability to speak, or they might not be a people's person, but man, some of those very same people know how to get on their knees and get a hold of God better than anyone else I've ever met. And you want to tell me that's insignificant because it's not getting the accolades that someone else does? Man, that's the wrong way to think. Or maybe someone has the ability to just sit and visit with someone. Man, you ever had someone just come and sit down and talk with you for a while and legitimately show you that they care about you? Man, that's an important thing. And to be able to be a blessing in someone's life, to be able to show them you love them, show them you care about them, show them God cares about them. Yeah, that person might not have some kind of grand and wonderful public ministry, but I promise you, they'd miss you if you were gone. And God gets the glory out of that. God gets the honor out of that. So what I want us to do is, you look at what God has given you. Find the abilities that you have and use those to the best of your ability. Calvary Baptist Church, God has blessed us in a way that He might not have blessed some other ministries. He has put us in King for a reason. We are here to reach these people for a reason. We are here to be a light in this community. Folks, we have the opportunity to reach some folks that no one else maybe ever does. Maybe you're the only light in your family. Maybe you're the only light in your workplace. Maybe you're the only light to one of your friends or whatever it be. You have an opportunity to serve right there. So we can never make comparisons. Just because something is different doesn't mean it's better or worse. You know, Paul, he even talked about that. You know, he talked about we're all members of one body. How is one part of your body going to look at another part and say, oh, I'm more important than you are? No, we all come together for one thing. So we've learned this. We've learned we shouldn't pout when we should be praising. And I want you to do what you can with what you have. And folks, lastly, I want you to see this is the most important thing. Look again at verse number 6. This is what I want you to see is going to be really the greatest of these three. Verse number 6 in Haggai chapter 2. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, Yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house, the glory of this second house, shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. Now I want you to stop and I want you to think about this for a moment. What he just said was, Haggai, I want you to go and I want you to tell the people, give them this message. They're over here, they're weeping. They're weeping because they saw the first house and how great and how wonderful and how much glory it had. But they're looking at the second house as built small. It's insignificant. There's not much to it. And here's what I want you to go tell them. Go tell them that even though the second house doesn't seem as pretty, doesn't seem as big, doesn't seem like there's as much going on there, doesn't seem like there's going to be as much opportunity to serve the Lord there, I want you to go and I want you to tell them that there's going to be more glory in that second house. I want you to go tell them that place is going to be more glorious. It's going to be more significant. It's going to have something else to it greater than that. And I got to thinking to myself, what is it? Well, how is it that when, by our standards, the first house would have more glory? Man, look at how much glory God would get out of the gold that's on the walls and the cedar posts and all the grand and wonderful things. That would certainly give God the glory, we would think, right? But no, Haggai, he delivered a message and said, no, the second one will. Well, what's the difference? Folks, here's the difference, and don't miss this. The second house was able to have more glory in it because when Jesus Christ came here on the earth, that's the house that he went to. He was the one that filled the walls of those four houses, of that second house. He's the one that was there. He's the one that brought the glory to it. Folks, the presence of God himself is what gave glory to that second house. And this is what we can't miss. If we begin to think that the first house had more glory because of what the walls looked like, we've missed it. We have missed it. Because this house over here, boy, when Christ came down and when he visited, when he spoke, when he read from the scriptures himself, he was over here in the second house. Folks, here's what we need to see is this. What is it that we take glory in? What is it in our minds and our eyes is where the glory comes from? Do we see glory in what we are able to do with our hands? Do we see glory in our accomplishments? Do we see glory in when I am able to step back and say, man, I feel good about that? You know, there's some things that we do that we feel good about. One of the things I like to do in my pastime, I like to work with wood. I like to build things. I've built some furniture and stuff. And it's always a good feeling when you get that last coat done, the last coat of lacquer or poly, whatever you're putting on. You sand it, boy, it's smooth. And you step back and you say, man, that looks good. Makes you feel good, doesn't it? Man, you can maybe put your name on it somewhere. I did that. Man, I feel good about that. And that's a good feeling. It's a feeling of accomplishment. And maybe in one way we could say that I'm taking glory out of that. But folks, that's not the way it ought to be when it comes to the work of God. When it comes to the work of God, it's not about what we can do with our hands. It's when we are hands off and we say, look what God did. God was found there. And folks, I want to ask you, is Jesus Christ found within the four walls of Calvary Baptist Church tonight? Can we look amongst us and say, yeah, God is glorified in what Calvary Baptist Church is doing there in King? Man, when you go to that church, you hear something out of God's Word. Man, those people, they love God. Those people, they glorify God. Man, when those people, they see something done, they give God the praise. They give God the honor. Man, it's all about Him. It's all about the Lord. Folks, if we miss that, then we'll start weeping when it's not good enough. If we miss that, that's when we start crying. If we miss that, that's when we start pouting. When really we could be praising. So folks, I want to encourage us with this. Let's take glory in only what God can do and what God is doing. And let's give Him the praise and the honor and glory for everything that goes on. So I want to ask us, are we working with what we have? Are we pouting when we could be praising? Right? Are we giving God glory for all the things? Are we making comparisons to what maybe my brother or sister is doing, or maybe what a sister ministry is doing, or what someone's doing down the street? Are we comparing ourselves? Or are we just looking at what God wants to do in us and through us? And folks, I want to finally leave us with this, and it really is what we just said, that God, in the end, He can do more with less. Amen. God can do more with less. That's why we always say we want to decrease so He can increase. We want Him to see less of us so everyone else can see more of Him. Amen. Folks, it's all about Him. Amen. Let's see to it that Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is found within the four walls of Calvary Baptist Church tonight. Amen. Everything we do, let's give the honor back to Him. And everything that we do, let's give God the praise for it. And everything that happens, let's give Him the honor for it. Let's never work for our hands, for our glory, for how good it looks to us, or for how wonderful it is when I maybe feel like I have accomplished something. No. Let's pass everything back off and give the praise and the honor where it's due. You know, God forbid that I should boast in anything save Jesus Christ. It's all about Him. So folks, if we could, let's have every head bowed and every eye closed. And I'll ask you to stand with me.